privilege to be sitting here with Nathan and Heather. And
so here's what I was afraid of. You would come in and see stewardship and get on your phones, you know what I'm saying, check up on Facebook, see what's going on, think about lunch. What I want you to do is stay with me at this, okay, and not just immediately shut down. I want to talk about stewardship as a whole, not just in the one way that we see it, which is money. Okay, good. Hallelujah. All right, y'all with me then. You already shut down. And so try not to shut down. And we're going to go to the Psalms, and we're going to go through a lot of scriptures today about what it means to join the journey of full stewardship. You know, full stewardship is a lot more than just money. It's a lifestyle. It's an understanding. It's a mindset. There is so much to it. And I believe that even in my day, there are so many things that God is showing me in understanding stewardship better. And so if you got your Bibles, if you would, stand with me. Now, if you know Psalm 89, you're going to ask, well, Pastor, please don't read it all. Well, I'm not going to. And so that's why I emailed you, or had Carrie email you to read it. And if you didn't read it, on our webpage at the bottom, you can sign up for our emails. We'd love for you to be a part of that. Little plug, right, Carrie? Are you here? Yes, good. But you can get the emails. I'm just going to read a short part of it for you today, starting in verse 1. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. Church, you know, I could just spend the whole morning just on that. And what's interesting is most of us immediately assume that David wrote this. I don't know how to say his where he's from, but Ethan actually wrote it on behalf of David, meaning considering the court of David, who David was. It's actually a beautiful testimony of the stewardship that David holds, right, with his kingdom. And here you have Ethan. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth. Now I want you to think about this. Now knowing it's not David that wrote this. Someone that served in his kingdom. Okay. So not only is David serving, but what's happening to the servants? They're saying the same thing. They're believing the same thing. Why? Because David was a good steward. Why? Because David understood, as he's a good steward, so are my with my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens, you will establish your faithfulness. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord. Your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. God, we ask right now, God, that as we join these journeys, as we take these steps, God, let it not be something that just passes us by, but let us be thankful for the steadfast love of the Lord, the steadfast love that you pour out on us. Let it change us. Let it adjust us. God, let us bring us to new heights with you. God, we pray against the enemy in the name of Jesus. He's not welcome here. This isn't his place. This isn't his property. And these are especially not his people. And so, God, we commit this time to you, and we ask your spirit to reign fully here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. And so here we understand that he's a part of his court, but we know that Ethan has a lot of wisdom. The word describes him as having a lot of wisdom. And so he is taking and learning and gleaning from David. And so we see a significant writing here. It's actually beautiful. I hope that you'll take the chance, if you haven't already, to read it and be up on it. But I want you to know something as we start here. There can be no stewardship without stewards. There can be no stewardship without stewards. One of the things that my dad always taught me, and so I don't know if you know this, but my great-grandmother, okay, who is a first-generation American from Italy, her name was Josephine. And so she named her son Joseph, and Joseph would be my what? My pop-pop or my grandfather. And I remember him telling me the story of their connection. And I know it's going to sound so stereotypical, so it is what it is, okay? But his connection to the mafia, and they used to be D'Agostinos, and so you can look them up in Jersey. And it's a very popular name in Jersey. Here it's not, but where I'm from it is. And he decided that there was going to be a lifestyle change, meaning he was going to step away from that. And so he changed it to D'Agostino. And back in that day, you couldn't make those changes without really going about it in the legal way. And so he just changed everything. And that's how it kind of shifted. Now, Josephine, my great-grandmother, was what? Not a fan of that, right? Because that was her heritage. She worked really hard and her parents to get here. And so there was something, I would say, an argument. But he wanted to start a new legacy and say, you know what? We're not a part of that anymore. That's not who we are. And so change the name. And then that became Joseph Sr., then my dad was Joseph Jr., and then I was Little Joey. And I still am, right, Little Joey to all of them. And my dad, my whole life, said, if you have a son and you do not name him Joseph the Fourth, okay? Now, then I married a wife who said, why would you want to not have a unique? I said, that is unique. And she's like, how is Josephine, Joseph, and Little Joey unique? And so thankfully, you know what God did? We didn't have a firstborn son. That argument never came to be. But there was something about stewarding that name, and I got off the hook because I had all girls. And so maybe we'll name the donkey Joseph. We're going to name a Karen off of like Karen. Sorry for the Karens in here, but you know, the Karen saying, but I shouldn't get into that. Okay. But, you know, I really struggle with that because I wanted to be a good steward of the, you know, the line. And my wife said, well, your last name's going to keep going. And now it may not. You know what I'm saying? But things are changing, so we'll see. And we may have a boy. You never know. But here's the thing. There can be no stewardship. What? Without stewards, okay? I'm obsessed with having a boy now. We got a farm. I worked my whole life for my dad, and so I'm about to have a boy just for that sake. Anyway, I should not tell another story, right? Save it. Okay, I'm going to save it for Sunday school, all right, because I got to let it out. You know, I was talking about sanctification a couple weeks ago. You all remember that. I hope you're changing your mindsets. And many, many years ago, you know, when you move, men and women move differently, okay? My thought is we have to take this size house and put it in this smaller house with no attic, no basement, no garage. You know what I'm saying? Just think, if you open our garage, we don't let you in that way for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm holding on to my childhood stuff. And I mean, it's just ridiculous, okay? Which we've thrown a lot of it away. I've been good, right? Ooh, I'm going to start crying. Okay. Oh, gosh. I'm having an emotional breakdown again. And so this is being good stewards, right? You know what I'm saying? And so my idea of by Friday, we no longer live at 1614. I'm thinking about the magnitude of going like that to this. You know what I'm saying? And yesterday, we had the opportunity to get in early, right, before closing. And Terry, she came and watched all them children. And anyway, we took the trailer. And we're going back and forth, and I'm unloading. Now, 10 years ago, I would have had a different thought in my mind. But this year, I didn't, right? She gets wallpaper out. Now, I worked as a youth pastor on my day off, okay, to paint. And you know what most of my time was spent doing, Pastor Gary? I got the grunt work, okay? Because even back then, I was trying to save money so that today we could do what, you know what I'm saying? Life doesn't just change. Faithfulness is a long, I could not have what I have now back then, but it's because back then I said, you know what, on my day off, I'm going to go to work. And so I painted. And I got the grunt work, which was go get the iron and take the wallpaper off. And so back in the day, I would have grumbled as I walked up the steps with the crates, and she sat in the room on the day that, like, I feel like we could have got a lot done, and she wallpapered. When? Okay. You know you in the sanctuary, right? You know what I'm saying? I got a little grace to exaggerate, but you don't. You a woman. You can't exaggerate. Okay. Well, anyway, I walked up there multiple times carrying crates, and I didn't grumble. You know what I'm saying? Like 10 years ago when we moved, what was I doing? Grumbling? Why are you worried about? But men and women are different, right? You know, and I've accomplished the understanding of that, and so I just carried everything in from the trailer, and she would go out and get the decorative things. You know, that doesn't matter when the stuff's still in the house and they want to move in. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just going to let it go. And I said, in 2 years, I'll call Pastor Gary, and he and I will take the wallpaper off when the design urge changes. You know what I'm saying? And I'm ironing it. I won't be cussing or anything. I'll just be doing it in the grace of God. Because 20 years ago, my grandfather and I would have been what? But anyway, God has worked on my heart. And so we're good stewards, and I'm good stewards of my wife. Like, I want her to be happy, and I want her to make the place that's important to her kids. And so stewardship is about a lot more than just money. Church, we're called to be good stewards of everything God gives us. And honestly, I thought about it as I walked around many of you today and knowing you so much better than I did 3 years ago. I said, Lord, why did you call me to say this today? And you know why? Because when I talk to you, when I look at you, when I see your sacrifice, you are good stewards. And so what I would encourage you today is that as we get through this, if you're a good steward, then stand on that and stand firm with that. And be okay with saying, you know what? I can boast in what God has done through my faithfulness. Because boasting is different in the church world. When we boast in humility and in thanksgiving and in just saying, God, you've been so good to me through my faithfulness, that's okay. And so today isn't all about being beat up. I only beat her up, so you can just go from there. So let's think about this for a second. I'm just messing. I'm proud of you. You're doing a great job. You like to make a special. You know, she only gets her hair cut once a year. This is all into stewardship, okay? I tell her for months, babe, why don't you just go color your hair and cut it? I said, what? And she said, you know what? If we want to, then I have to. You know, when I met her, she got her nails done, what, every 2 weeks? They were, you know, she was all that, you know what I'm saying? She worked for the state. She got her nails done, her feet done, you know what I'm saying? Like all kinds of things. I'm just honored. This all relates to this. And when we had the baby, you know what she gave up? Getting her nails done. So she started selling Color Street and said, you know what? They give me free packages when I sell so much. I mean, on and on. I like certain cleaning products. So what does she do? She buys them and sells them. I like certain clothes for my kids. You know what she does? Drives me crazy. She does what? She buys them and sells them and sends me to the post office with 58 bags to process at the post office. But here's the thing. We have what we have and we are where we are because we understand that. And because we'll never take from the Lord. When there's a gift given back. Because whether you gave us the gift or the church gave us the gift or our Father gave us the gift, it's still from the Lord in church. Here's the thing, when we get to the end, good stewardship is being good stewards of everything and sometimes being sacrificial. So she got her hair done in October and she'll get it done in October again, right? I'm going to try cutting it this time. She cut the kids' hair as I watched it, and so I'm ready. I did dye your hair once, though, right? You said, you know, I can't take it no more. I said, look what I came home with. And she was like, honey, I did it. We didn't do it again, but anyway. One and done, you know what I'm saying? You got to get them done. Think about this for a second. This is why this is so beautiful of a passage when you look at this servant talking about his master. He is the owner. We are the managers. Here's the thing. When we settle into that, you know, our lives are totally different. It feels like when I talk to Christians sometimes, I'm like, do you realize when you settle into understanding full stewardship, the blessings that come out of that are beautiful. But the first thing that comes out of it is peace, because the struggle's gone. When you say, you know what, God, you are the owner, and you know what, you want good for me. You know what, I know how you feel about me. I know that you knit me in the womb. I know that your plans for me are great. And then when you can come to that conclusion, right, you feel blessed to be the manager of what God's gifted you. And you can reword it. You can say what the Creator has given you. The Alpha and Omega has given you. The beginning and the end. That's looked at you and said, you know what, Joe? I want you to steward AFC. So take a moment to breathe. If we believe that we are the owner, then plan on being in constant conflict with God. What's interesting is in stewardship, oftentimes you have to make decisions. We made a decision at Christmas. We were going to do something, and the Lord just nudged our heart and said, cancel it. We canceled it. The Lord knew we were going to get sick, but he also knew there'd be some expenses because we have to wallpaper it, you know what I'm saying? And so we gave up, and I'm just going to mess with it. It's beautiful, though. I love it. In 2 years, I won't, but Because, you know, wallpaper is a fad, right? You know what I'm saying? I'm right there. Amen. Even the women said it. I'm just kidding. It really is cool. But what I want you to understand is that, and think about this, yes, and I want you to get this. The Lord is the owner, and we are the manager. The conflict will disappear, and freedom overtakes our life. Think about even in scenarios. I think about myself even 12 years ago. There were so many things that I felt as though I needed to make the decision about. And my wife came in and said, did you talk to the Lord? And I'm like, I've been single for this long. What do you mean talk to the Lord? That's just every day. And all of a sudden, my mind began to understand what it meant to take all things, right? Because all things that God has gifted me with, I am a steward of. And see, as we begin to do that, we can begin to breathe. See, the problem is when we don't do that, we will never be at peace. Some of the reason today why y'all aren't at peace is because you are the owner. And see, when we're not the owner, we can rest. You know what? There is a blessing. Let's just be honest. In renting, when people say to me, I think I'm going to rent, I'm like, God bless you. When it goes wrong, you know what you do? You call the owner. There is some blessing in that. We couldn't sell our house at one point, being called somewhere. We rented it. And after we were done that, I said, we are out of the, because you know why? Every time something went wrong with that 120-year-old house, guess who they called? Joseph D'Agostino, right? And then all of a sudden, it wasn't a great investment, which it can be. I'm not saying it can't. But here's the deal. When we understand that we are a part of the kingdom of God, and he's the owner, he's the bearer, it's why he says, cast your cares on me. See, it's bigger than just stewardship of money. As a manager, we have divine responsibility. Think about it. We have divine responsibility in the way that we handle things, in the way that we see things, in the way that we respond to things, in the way that we walk every day. We hold the divine with us. Church, there are things that I don't do that honestly, in my mind, I'm like, well, that's not really a big deal. But you know what? I don't do them because I'm the steward, the divine responsible person of what? AFC, my family, my body. Church, man, if you could think about stewardship as you being responsible for the divine, imagine how different your mindset would be. Think about this statement. The best leaders bring out the best in those whom they have stewardship over. You know, the best leaders aren't the ones that come in as a dictator and degrade and say you aren't and say you should. They're the ones that come in and partner with you and love on you and care for you and embrace you and hold you up. You know, I think I can go as far to say this, but, you know, Heather and Nathan were supported by a lot of church as they were supported by AFC. And they prayed about the decision of where they should go and where they should stay. And they chose to stay at AFC. Why? Because you all did a good job of stewarding her as a child. Why? Because Nathan testified the other night when we put the camera off about how God restored his faith here. And how God really renewed his understanding of what it meant to be a Christian at AFC. We may not be perfect, but we are definitely trying to do well with the divine responsibility that we hold. God, having stewardship over us, affords the best to spring forth from us. I am the best when I'm the nearest to the Lord. In church, whether you like it or not, you are the best when you are nearest to the Lord. So there's a calling when it comes to stewardship. Y'all like callings, and not like me calling you on the phone, not like that, but you know, like a calling on your life. Like, I think oftentimes we struggle with like what our calling is. So I want you to take a second and just think about it. What do you feel like your calling is right now? Where is God guiding you? Who is he leading you to pray for? What steps is he asking you to take? What things is he asking you to say? What things is he asking you to release? See, we often think of a calling as like, okay, are you called to like teach? Are you called to sing? You know what you're called to do? draw into his presence, and he will speak, and he will move. When we think about stewardship as a calling, think about these things. Give abundantly. Think about the scripture where after a huge offering, David responded to God, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? For everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your own hand." David was thinking like a steward. He wasn't thinking like an owner. He was thinking as a manager. Give sacrificially. I love this. 2 Corinthians 8, Paul tells of Macedonian Christians and their sacrificial giving. Paul testifies here, very interestingly, how could they give so generously? Why in extreme poverty? Think about it. Their hearts were just, and they were in a state of just not having very much at all, and yet still made the decision to give. Why? Because they didn't want to miss out on all that God had for them. Church stewardship is about missing out. You know, when we're good stewards, we don't miss out. You know why? Because we're where we should be. Think about it in that way. When we're good stewards and we're seeking every bit of what God wants for us, then our placement is perfect. You know, much of our Christian walk is about placement. As we seek Him, we're in the right place. And so when we're in the right place, He meets us. You say, well, He met me when I wasn't in the right place. That's called God's grace. But wouldn't it be nice to not have to and just be right where? And see, when we're sacrificial, it's what happens. We connect. When we refuse to say, you know what, not today, we connect. I think about these conversations, and I can only go off of my stuff. So if you all got stories you want me to share, you got to share with me so I can share them and then give me permission to share them with the whole church. But, you know, when you have six kids, to go out to eat is what? It's expensive. My goodness. I mean, even though groceries have gone up, it's still expensive, right? Well, we like Pizza King, but we haven't had Pizza King in, gosh, it's been over a year, right? Because when you have six kids, they do what? They eat. Hello, y'all with me? You all eat, I eat, they eat, and we got good eaters. They'll eat broccoli, they'll eat carrots, they eat anything you put in front of them, they eat. And so I don't know what that's all about. It could be after me, right? That's what they've taken after me. But anyway, Pizza King for us is expensive. Why? Because pizza, when we go to Pizza King, and it's been a long time, so I don't remember exacts, but to feed all of them plus myself, which is a lot in itself, it's like $40-some. Well, let me tell you something. If you get Jack's, y'all know Jack's Pizza, the frozen ones at Payless down the street, when you get them on sale, you know you can get them 5 for $10, which makes them, so instead of $40, right, we can get how many? So 5 times 4 is 20. So 20 pizzas. We only need 2 per meal, which feeds us how long? Right? Well, the last time we had Pizza King, I went over and over with her about all this calculations, and she said, look, we're not getting pizza again. I mean, I just did it because you like to. I said, that's true, but I complained the whole time. You know why? And look, you can probably say, I don't have freezer space. We'll throw it outside in Indiana. It'll stay good for 9 months, right? And so just throw it out. Throw the jacks out when they're on sale and pull them in when you need them. But I mean, this is the thing. And so my daughter says in the car, she says, Dad, I really like Pizza King, why don't we ever? And see, that's a mindset I'm trying to work against. And you know what we say to her? Why don't you think about what we do have? Come on now, right? We got to start making them think differently when they're young. If we don't start making them think differently when they're young, then the pastor has to stand up here and try to break old patterns of people that live in what? Why don't we's? Instead of, look at what we do. And I said, babes, but look at what we do have. Look at what we are able to do. Look at the vacation we took. We didn't go out to eat then either. I said, no, that's why we bought a camper, because you feed yourself, right? But think about it. You got to start saying to our kids, to our young people, but think about what you do have. Think about how you are blessed. It doesn't matter that you don't. Look at what you do. See, stewardship is a change of mindset. And when your sacrificial little things become teaching moments, and God can do great things. Give joyfully. Y'all always happy? You are not always happy. I'm going to take a picture every Sunday and post it and say, this is what the church looks like. You know what I'm saying? We were at the men's event the other night, and Pastor Joey took a picture of the group walking up. I said, don't post that because you couldn't see our people, but the people right there were not so happy. I'm like, I know the Pacers were losing, but you know, you got to be joyful in the church. We tend to be a little bit what? A little grumpy, right? We come in, we're upset. Sometimes we don't even come to church because we're upset with so-and-so, and I might have to see so-and-so, and I'm not. You know, it ain't about that, right? Church is about worship to God, who sustains you, who keeps you in the seat you're in. It's not called gravity. It's called Jesus. See, cheerful giving can only come from a heart set on things above, not on earthly things. What's crazy, though, is that as you learn to live a life of stewardship, God blesses you. I always said to my parents, one day I'm going to have chickens, right? And I'm going to get to have chickens. But you know what? It took a long journey of what to get there? Stewardship. Do you remember when the tabernacle was being built in the Old Testament? This isn't something we celebrate, but people got so caught up in the joy of their heavenly investments that they had to be restrained from giving more. Do y'all remember that when Moses said, enough is enough? Because their excitement produced what? Excitement which produced abundance. You know, in the church, we could live in abundance if we would just live in abundance. Now you're going to say, oh, goodness, you're talking like, well, I won't even say it. Right? I shouldn't say it. Joel Osteen. I shouldn't. Okay. I know you all watched him when you got up this morning. I have a different view of him from Texas. We struggle because of that. We shouldn't go there, right? They didn't open up their church when the hurricane came and took them the media to say open it up, and they did. And, you know, NACNAS was over there, and their doors were shut, right? Think about this. It's a calling. It's a calling. Stewardship of you is a calling. We will give an account. Now, here's where it gets real. Y'all ready to get real? Come on now. I won't talk about it for another year, so might as well get real once, right? So now you can just wipe your brow and say, I made it through that Sunday. God's stewardship will be accounted for. First of all, ourselves. And I joke about my weight because I fluctuate. I keep a picture of when I first got out of the Army to remind myself not to eat the donuts, you know what I'm saying, not to do that stuff, just as a reminder, because at one point it didn't look like it does right now, but it's okay. But I believe that part of that conviction, right, is that God's calling me to be better with my body. You know, I not only choose to restrain from things that the Bible says to restrain from just because the Bible says, but because the Bible also says that I'm a temple. And that I am God's, and that His Spirit does reside. And when you understand temple theology in the Old Testament, you know what it was? It was specific. It was detailed. I had the opportunity a couple times to go to the replica in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, of the temple, and I came out of that, and I'll never forget this. I was like, oh my goodness. So the veil of the temple was torn, right? And Jesus said, now because of me and because of the Holy Spirit, you become the temple. And I walked out of that temple after hearing the narrator who walks you through it and the detail of it and the refining of it and the specificness of it. Now, I knew it from reading, but seeing it, I thought, so wait a minute, now God's calling me to that kind of... See, we think that Old Testament theology, because of Jesus, it just goes away, and yet He really does call us to a very refined and specific life that produces, right, the presence of God within us that brings us good things, because all good things come from. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. What's interesting here is that normally we talk about confession as we go and we confess to the Lord, or we confess to someone else and we ask for forgiveness. And here, what it says is to confess fully and completely. Meaning, as you meet Him, whatever's not covered, you're going to confess that. Every place where God said, come, and you said, no, you're going to confess that. Every place where God said come, and then you turned around a couple of years later and you didn't go back and pick the pieces back up and put them back together, you're going to have to confess that. I know that most people don't believe this, but there are things that I did in the past that I believe God is calling me to make amends for. Because I wasn't a good steward. Church, you're stewards of what you're in right now, where your soul is residing right now. God has given you stewardship over it. He's given us stewardship over our abilities. Remember, all good things come from the Lord, so our abilities really come from the Lord. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Translate stewards here. It's very interesting. It's house distributors. Now, I don't know that I ever thought about it this way. But as I looked at what John Wesley and what the Wesleyans believe the translation to be, house distributors. Well, think about that. I'm distributing kids into the world at some point, right? Think about distribution centers. What do? They get the product where it... And so what are you? You are the people, the presence, the temple, the holders of gifts and abilities that God's intending you to distribute from the house of the Lord. Church, think about it. You get to distribute what God's given you, your talents, your abilities. Some of you are sitting on those. Some people don't even know the talents and abilities that you have because you're holding tight to them. And yet here, what Peter was saying is that we're stewards. We're house distributors. Meaning the house of the God, of God, we get to distribute. Think about this, our time. Now, I don't believe in being overwhelmed, and I don't believe in, like, you've got to serve everywhere. Like, I grew up in that, and I remember my mom, super, super faithful, always there, whether my dad was mad or not, always there. We went early, and because she played the piano, and there weren't other pianists, and so she was faithful to it. And we were also the family that went to bed early. I don't anymore, but back then we used to. And Sunday nights were rough. And my mom had just come to a place where, because Sunday night church back in that day in a charismatic Nazarene church would go late because we'd be praising and singing and praying and the altars would be full. And my mom just didn't feel up to it. Now, mind you, we went to that church for 18 years. And my mom was tired. And I remember the next Sunday, or that Sunday afternoon, when we were leaving, someone came in front of us kids. My dad wasn't there that day and said, you are, right, a heretic for not playing at church tonight. Now, as a young Italian child with a temper, I went to say something and my mom said, this isn't the place. And then I got home and I told my dad after my mom said, don't tell dad, we don't want to upset him. Now, today, to this day, I regret that. Do you know that? It actually brings tears in my eyes. Because I was too young to understand that my dad's faith was this big. And that every time the church did something wrong, do you know where the faith went? You couldn't even see it. So I got home and said what this gentleman had said to my mom and how rude he was and said, you better think about it, pray about it, you're now a sinner. I mean, he just went on and on as we're trying to go out the door. And she got there at 6 in the morning to set up, pray, and play, and then has the nerve to. And so I went home and told my dad, well, his faith went from here to here. And you know what he did? He got in the car. And my mom had to go out screaming, saying, baby, it's not a big deal. It doesn't matter. It didn't bother me. That's not, my faith isn't. And so as I stand here today, I'm not saying all of a sudden you should become. But when God says, you should. It's why when you come to me and say, I don't think I can do this today. I say, well, absolutely don't. You know why? Because I know most of your hearts. And so if you're saying you can't, then don't. But if you're not, and you believe you should, then you better do. Interestingly enough, here under this scripture, I'm not going to read it, but it talks about redeem. And I thought, well, that just meant like the body, and then the translation actually means to redeem time. What's interesting here is that if you want to take it even deeper, before the fall, time wasn't a thing. after the fall, time became a thing. See, before the fall, they were just walking and living and embracing. They weren't worried about time. After the fall, time became a thing. And in this scripture, interestingly enough, Paul is saying that our time needs to be redeemed because the enemy actually took time. He took from our bodies. He made us frail. He gave us a human timeline all through the fall. And we can talk about that more. But church, some of us need to redeem time. I still think about that moment and wish I could redeem time. You know why? Because it took a long time. Who wasn't getting them up in the morning, who didn't have to have two parents working in the home, who didn't understand what, who always made, who had 2 degrees, it still unnerves me. It's why in the church here, I don't allow those kind of things to be said. And some of your friends have gotten mad at me for it. But you know what? I know what it does. I lived it. I went home to it. I reacted to it, and I shouldn't have. But in the church, we shouldn't be making it so people have to. But I wish I could go back and redeem that time. But see, the Lord redeems. And when we're good stewards, he redeems. And so there came a time when I was mature enough to say to my dad, I should have never even come home and said, my mom said no. And then our possessions. And here's the hardest part. For it will be like a man journey, who called his servants and entrusted them his property. We all know this. The talents were given. This is Jesus' words. What's interesting about the whole thing, and at the end, you read that very simple result, meaning the individual who did nothing, remember, Jesus wasn't pleased, master wasn't pleased, and then he says to the one who got 2 and it doubled, he says this, master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made you 2 more. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. So tell me today that stewardship is not important. And tell me today as a pastor that I shouldn't talk about stewardship here and there. Because Jesus gave this example, and it was not just about one thing. It was about the fact that those servants went and did the will of the Father in all ways, and fruit came back. I heard this recently in a training. I've been repeating it a lot. Selena Freeman said it. Well, she's really challenged me quite a bit, and she said in the Church of the Nazarene, we're good about celebrating faithfulness, but we're not good about celebrating faithfulness and fruitfulness. Faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Isn't that beautiful? Imagine if Jesus allowed you to, let's say, test him, which we don't like to say, but what if you went to him and said, okay, I'm going to make this change. I'm going to join this journey and take this step. And I'm going to be faithful in the highs and the lows and the medians and the, and I'm going to see it through. Imagine when you see it through and he comes to you and says, hey, you did good with that. I'm going to give you. Now, see, some of us don't want more, right? Because we don't want more responsibility. We don't want more. We're not good enough. We're not. Get past all that. Get past it all. You are beautifully made for a tremendous purpose to be stewards of the presence of God. Let's be stewards of the presence of God and all that he's given us, all that he's gifted us, all that he's entrusted with us. Why? Because as we do that, he will entrust us with more. So a couple of thoughts as we end here. Do you realize that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit? What needs to be cleansed? What needs to be realigned? And the question today is, do you want to live in abundance? Because see, the parable that Jesus gave us showed us that he was ready to bless that servant, to encourage that servant, to empower that servant, to transform that servant. That servant's days would never be the same. And church, as you step into good biblical stewardship, your days will never be the same. Living in abundance bleeds in a good way. God, today, we've had some fun. We've laughed. But God, I can be honest with you today, I have learned over the years what it means to be a good steward. What it means to be entrusted as a dad with kids that you knit together for me. I know what it means to be entrusted with a spouse who you called me to love and care for and encourage and lift up. You've given me stewardship over my finances. You've given me stewardship over AFC. In fact, every time I say that, I have to hold back tears because all of that honestly seems overwhelming. But yet, with you, you guide, you lift, you provide, you sustain. And so, God, today we all are at a different place of stewardship. We're all stewarding different things. But we're all stewarding one common thing. And that is that as we accept you as our Savior, as we step into the second yes, as we experience your majesty, we are called to be good stewards. Good stewards of more than just money, time, abilities, and our own bodies. And so God, let us in this year think about being good stewards. Because see, the problem is that if we're not good stewards, then stewardship isn't a thing. But the furtherment of your gospel in Madison County will become less and less. And so God, let us be encouraged today, challenged today, and drawn into your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.